Like many in the Hudson Valley, I took the loss of Pete Seeger personally. He was a great international figure, but he was also a local hero. His sloop Clearwater and the attention it brought to the Hudson River led to an actual cleanup of terrible pollution. Now the river can be fished and it's safe for swimming. What has Pete Seeger got to do with economics, you might ask? Well, as most people know, Pete was a committed socialist, had even been a member of the American Communist Party for a time. Some of the commentaries about him argued he was a great man despite having been a communist. I want to argue the opposite. Pete's commitment to social justice and full human rights was part and parcel of his belief that socialism was a much better economic system than capitalism. His brief membership in the Communist Party was his way of expressing that belief at that time. Listeners to this commentary may remember that in the summer of 2010, I referred to a Pew study which discovered, quite surprisingly, that 43% of people under 30 reacted positively to socialism, the same percentage that reacted positively to capitalism. Over half reacted negatively to both. In 1936, Pete Seeger traveled with his parents to parts of rural America, and later in 1939 was involved with a group of performing puppeteers who toured rural New York in support of a farmer-worker alliance. One could say that just as young people today can see the ravages visited by our form of capitalism on ordinary people, and the facts speak for themselves, the stagnation in median incomes for workers, the devastation of long-term unemployment for the poor, so Seeger in his youth could see what the Depression was doing to ordinary Americans. Unlike today's youth, who have only the model of a failed Soviet-style socialism to put up against the reality they see around them, people in the 1930s could think of a better way, a system of universal government-provided health care, of full employment, a society where there were no millionaires riding on yachts while thousands were in desperate straits. Of course, the hopeful people of the 1930s were wrong about the Soviet Union, but that fact has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not capitalism is an acceptable way of organizing an economy for the benefit of the majority. This is where economics comes in. Too many economists try to assure us that there's no alternative to capitalism. Some tell us if we would only let capitalism get free of government intervention, we'd have a nirvana of opportunity for all. Most economists, however, accept the fact that capitalism needs to be managed by government to make it work for the majority of people. Those of us who agree with Pete Seeger that some form of socialism would be better than what we have now argue that the entire history of post-World War II America suggests that even the most controlled form of capitalism will ultimately succumb to the power of money to free the very rich from even the flimsiest of controls. That is, in my opinion, and the opinion of many others, what happened after 1980. The short period of shared prosperity from World War II to the 1970s was an anomaly. Since then, we've had a more normal capitalism. Great for the 1%, pretty good for the 10%, not so good for the rest. No wonder more and more young people are agreeing with Pete Seeger about the superiority of socialism over our form of capitalism.